ARC Entertainment Media presents Creative Freedom, How to Own Your Dreams Without Selling Your Soul, a guide to personal and financial success as a creative entrepreneur, by Lisa Robin Young, read by the author. This book is dedicated to creative entrepreneurs everywhere who are ready to own their dreams without selling their soul. Introduction. I grew up in the 1980s in Flint, Michigan. Surprisingly, many talented folks have come from my hometown. Actors, musicians, sports figures, and more. All of them creative and talented people. Back in the summer of 1985, Ready for the World, an R&B group from Flint, had just launched their first single from their breakthrough album to the top of the Billboard charts. I was 10. Seeing a band from my hometown with a number one record set my soul on fire. If they could do it, so could I. Right then, I declared my future career intention to my parents. I was going to be a rock star when I grew up. I still hear the syrupy, patronizing tone of my mother's words in reply. That's nice, dear, but you're going to need a fallback plan. If you're a creative entrepreneur, you've probably heard that line more than once in your life. I soon learned that fallback plan actually meant go to college so you can get a good paying real job. But that made no sense to me. Why on earth would you work so hard at something other than what you really enjoy doing just so that you might get the chance to do what you really enjoy someday? That was backward thinking. What was going on in Mom's head? I mean, I came from a long line of creative entrepreneurs, people who provided for their families doing what they loved. My grandmother was a singer in a nightclub when she met my grandfather. He was a carpenter by trade. In fact, Grandpa's dad was a carpenter, and I think his dad was too. Mom was the entrepreneur in her generation. I remember hauling records to and from events when she ran a DJ service for a couple of years with her sister. And I have vague recollections of Mom's Avon Route, antique store, and the upholstering business she founded with her dad. There's a scrapbook picture of my dad standing next to a cash register in the store that they'd started and closed before I was ever born. She even met my dad while freelancing in the world's oldest profession. Entrepreneurship wasn't foreign to our family, neither was being creative, so you'd think that being a creative entrepreneur would be applauded, encouraged even. Not so. Most of the kids I went to school with had parents who were teachers or worked in the shop. In Flint, the holy grail of employment was working in the shop, one of several facilities owned by General Motors. The pay was good, the benefits were incredible, including 2 weeks off every summer during shutdown for the model year changeover. If you were lucky, your mom was a teacher and your dad worked in the shop. If you hit the parental jackpot, both your parents worked in the shop. We were not a shop family. By the time I was a teenager, I'd had a ringside seat into the reasons why Mom practically begged me to have a fallback plan. Most of Mom's entrepreneurial endeavors were failed attempts to make money on the side, while my elderly father worked a full-time job as a gas station attendant and mechanic. She didn't have the financial or emotional resources to stick with anything long enough to make it a going concern. We grew up on welfare, unable to feed four kids without government assistance. When my parents split up, Mom put her entrepreneurial pursuits on the back burner to keep the bills paid. Mom's siblings were either postal workers or teachers with stable employment and retirement plans. Most of them had college degrees. Not Mom. She didn't have a fallback plan. Without a college degree and unable to meet the physical demands of working in the post office, she found work as a parking lot attendant across from the shop. She'd spend hot summer days sitting in that shack with no running water, collecting parking fees from shop workers. She'd spend cold winter days trudging through the snow, scraping off license plates to ensure that each car in the lot had paid to park. Sometimes, if someone hadn't paid, they'd intentionally back their car into a snowbank so she'd have to dig through the snow with her hands to read their plate. She especially enjoyed having those cars towed. You wouldn't know by looking at her that Mom was gifted at math and science in a time when that wasn't what girls did. She was also a skilled musician. She was probably the first example of a fusion creative in my life, but I didn't know it at the time. All I knew was that I didn't want to end up like her, putting on a fake smile, working for pennies, in a crappy situation, just to keep her nose above water. I went to college to study music. I didn't know a lot of rock stars with college degrees, but I figured if I was going to get a degree and have a fallback plan, it should at least be related to my chosen career path. By the time I finished college, I was deep in debt with a child of my own. I'd actually gotten a shop job while at college, but it was nothing like I remembered it. Instead of being hired in as an employee, I was a contract worker, crossing the picket lines to go to work each day. William Bridges' book, Job Shift, was required reading by my boss. It painted a bleak picture of the traditional employment landscape. Forget about 30 years and a gold watch. Forget about loyalty. Job hopping and portfolio careers were the wave of the future, and the future was now. Swell. All that time, money, and effort to build a fallback plan actually worked against me. Now I was overqualified and underemployed. So when my contract at the shop ended, I took the only job I could find as a financial advisor in training, wearing a fake smile, making minimum wage in a crappy situation just to keep my nose above water. Somehow, I'd ended up just like my mother. Unlike mom, however, I refused to let that be the end of my story. As a result, I'm now the founder of a production company and business incubator that helps creative entrepreneurs around the world. I get to write books like this one, make music, speak, and perform for audiences large and small. I host a regular web series called Creative Freedom that helps creatives learn how to build a profitable, sustainable business doing what they love. And I moved from Flint to Nashville, a thriving community full of creative entrepreneurs. My rocky journey from nothing became the foundation for everything this book is about. You can make good money doing what you love without selling your soul to do it. Creative Freedom is an action guide to help you create your own foundation for financial and personal success doing what you love, whatever that may be. You'll learn the unique blind spots of your Creative Freedom entrepreneur type, as well as the ninja skills that make you great at what you do. Then you'll learn how to apply those strengths to building a profitable, sustainable business in a way that works for who you are when you are at your best. My goal in writing this book is to give you the tools and confidence you need to be able to build a meaningful income for yourself and your family with time to enjoy it. Who's this book for? You probably aren't looking to make millions in minutes. If you are, this isn't the book for you. Silver bullets only work for werewolves and the Lone Ranger. You are neither. More likely, you'd like to make a comfortable living doing what you love and get off the hamster wheel of hustle so that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. You'd like to have the same kind of money you'd make from a good day job with the added benefit of actually enjoying the work you get to do every day. Or maybe you're not able to work a full-time job. Chronic illnesses like adrenal fatigue and disabilities or mental health issues keep a lot of otherwise talented individuals from making a living wage because they're not suited to a traditional corporate job. Creative entrepreneurship becomes a vehicle through which they can bring in a supplemental income or even a living wage without the difficulties that come with traditional employment. Don't get me wrong, this isn't an easy ride. Real effort is required for real results, but by following the process in this book, you'll have a customized plan of action that works for who you are and your unique situation. You can end the starving artist myth once and for all. Creative Freedom shows you how. Who is this book not for? Well, if you're much beyond startup, there might be a thing or two in here you haven't considered, but this book isn't geared for you. If you've got a steady six-figure income doing what you love, this book probably won't give you much in the way of help. I believe in serving the holistic needs of the creative entrepreneur, the personal and the professional, using what I call the 360-degree consulting approach. Context is extremely important for a creative entrepreneur, so personal stuff matters. Now, linear types might have a hard time buying into this, especially if they don't self-identify as creative. You are, but you don't choose to see yourself that way. For most creatives, your business is an extension of who you are in the world. That's not typically the case for larger organizations. While many of these concepts can be applied to agencies and big startups, they're geared toward micropreneurs and solopreneurs. If you're looking for seed money, venture capital, or you're any type of startup that isn't autonomous and able to make business decisions with agility, this book probably won't help you. If you've bought into the notion that following your passion will bring you the bucks, yet you lack the skill or talent to actually earn a living at it, or you don't have the desire to learn, then this isn't for you. I'm not teaching you how to do your great work, only how to connect it with the right people in a way that allows you to make a good living. You've got to be good at what you do, or people won't buy from you, or they'll buy once and find somebody else. For example, my youngest son loves playing Minecraft, but he lacks the skills or talent to record and upload videos worth watching. As such, he's not likely to make much money, even though he's incredibly passionate about Minecraft. When he's older and got more experience using video editing software, perhaps, but not right now. He's still got a learning curve before he can build an audience of raving fans. So, if you're well-versed in your great work, and you're looking for a way to parlay that skill or talent into useful, meaningful income, you're in the right place. Let's get started.